following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Why were you born? Do you really understand the awesome purpose for your life, my friends? Do you understand that your life does have a great purpose? I'm about to reveal to you a specific reason for your very existence. Very few people understand this awesome truth. This information should revolutionize your life. It really should. It can give your life real meaning and purpose. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith answers the question, why were you born? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, most of us grew up never knowing that our lives had a genuine purpose. I myself was blinded to the real purpose of life until I was nearly 20 years of age. I came out to a college, I came to a man who understood the purpose of life, and I learned it, and I've learned a great deal more of it since from the only source from which it comes. Oh, I attended a mainstream church regularly, and I was a regular guy back in high school in Joplin, Missouri. I lettered on Coach Kaminsky's football team in Joplin, Missouri. I was the star mile runner on my high school track team. I won nearly all the meets and did, you know, nearly set a state record at one point. I won 2 Golden Gloves boxing championships. In fact, I was written up in the Joplin Globe as the winner of the bloodiest bout in Joplin Globe Golden Gloves tournament history. I got this thing right under my lip right here in that thing. But it was not a thing I ought to have done, of course, bashing other people in the head. But I was a high school kid, and I did those things, and I enjoyed it. Late at night with my friends, though, after doing various things and staying up late, as high school boys will do sometimes, staying all night in Monty Taylor's house when his folks were gone and other places, we discussed the real concern that all of us had, and there were a whole bunch of us from different Protestant churches, sort of real friends from the various churches around town that loved each other, spent thousands of hours together. And we discussed the fact a number of times that there did not seem to be any real purpose for our lives. In spite of being in successful families and nice homes, we felt empty and frustrated. And nearly all my friends did. They were from various backgrounds, but they felt empty and frustrated, even though they were attending most of the mainstream churches. We did not understand any transcendent reason for our lives. And neither did our parents, and neither did our ministers, my friends. Otherwise, they would have told us. Human beings of themselves can never figure out the real reason for our existence. Only our Creator, your Creator, the Creator of all that is, can give us this kind of understanding, this spiritual information. And the great God who made us has, in fact, revealed this genuine purpose in His inspired Word. Will you believe what you plainly see in the pages of your Bible? Listen. Notice what King David of ancient Israel said when he was out under the stars at night, when he thought and God revealed this to him. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm, the book of Psalms and chapter 8. Psalm 8, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Even those of you who are not religious, you're going to get something out of this because this goes way beyond what most churches even begin to understand. It really does. Open your minds, open your Bibles, prove these things to yourself. Psalm 8, beginning verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. From the very beginning, as we shall see, man was created to have rule. Man was created to have dominion. You put all things under his feet. And then he mentions various physical things, but as we shall see, it goes way beyond that. Picture the majestic heavens. Their beauty. Scientists tell us that there are billions of entire galaxies out there. Yes, billions of galaxies. Far more galaxies are out in the universe than the number of people who are living on Earth or who have ever lived. Think about that. Why are all those galaxies out there in the limitless universe? Did the great God who created all the physical laws that we see, the great designer who designed everything, have a reason for making so many galaxies? Turn back to Genesis. Let's go back to the very beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became without form and void. Darkness was on the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God began to recreate the earth after a great destruction took place, frankly. And then God recreated and put the plants on the earth and the animals and everything that we know. And in verse 26, God said, verse 26, Genesis 1, "Let us, more than one," this was the one we call God the Father and the Son, who back in the Old Testament is called the Logos, the spokesman, the one who spoke for the Father. "Let us, more than one, make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." So from the beginning again, man was given dominion. He was created to have understanding. He was created to have a mind. And he was, of course, given creative imagination to think, to plan, to bring new things into existence within a certain limit. "Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and all these creatures." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Man and woman were both made in God's image. Then God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Many religionists in the world, especially back in the Victorian era or the Dark Ages before that, thought that sex was evil. God's first command to man and woman, in marriage, of course, was to love each other and have lots of kids, have lots of children, potential members of God's family, when you come to understand. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth." So from the beginning, we were given dominion, we were given rule, and we were created for a great purpose. At this point, my friends, I want to offer you one of the most inspiring and meaningful booklets we have ever published. This booklet is entitled, Your Ultimate Destiny. This booklet goes into exciting detail about the very matters we're discussing. Why were you born? So pick up the phone and write or call us today and ask for your free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny. Just ask for the booklet on your destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, why were you born? We found in Genesis 1, verse 28, that God created man and woman in his image, and God gave them dominion. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over everything." We were given from the beginning capacity for dominion, for rule. That is why we're here, as we'll see more fully later on. Now notice the inspired message that God gives us in a New Testament book, the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning in verse 5. "For he has not put the world to come, in which we speak, in subjection to angels," God says. Angels are not going to be over tomorrow's world. They're not going to be in charge. They have more power and ability than we do today, but God says they're not going to be in charge. "But one in a certain place said, 'What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you have taken care of him?' You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, the writer of Hebrews tells us, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things under him. Of course we don't. They're not all under man today. But many of the biblical commentaries and scholars acknowledge that this expression, all is put under man and nothing is accepted, indicates that we are eventually to be over the entire universe. It talks about the fact here that nothing is accepted. Nothing is not put under man in God's plan. It's not under man now. It's not yet there, as this verse said, but it's going to be. Think about that. The vast heavens, the universe. Notice what the Apostle Paul was inspired here to talk about. He went on to say, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Christ is bringing many sons. We're going to be sons of God, not make-believe sons of God, but real sons of God, and bringing many sons to glory to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Christ had to go through that to pay the penalty of our sins and to reconcile us to God and then to live as our high priest and give us the strength, as I've shown on this program, the help, the real love of God, the power of God to keep God's ways, to build the character God wants that he puts within us, his nature, his character through the Holy Spirit, so we are fit to live with him and with Christ in eternity as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls us brothers, and we are his real brothers if we're truly converted and have God's Holy Spirit. Now notice, my friends, what the Apostle Paul was inspired to tell us back in the book of Romans. Turn back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. If through God's Spirit you conquer your own sins and lusts and vanities, then you will live, God says. So that's what we've got to do through the help of Christ within us, of course. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We don't have to fear God. Way back when I was in high school and junior college in Missouri and attending these mainstream churches and going along with the world, God seemed way off. I didn't know God. He wasn't real. I didn't understand while I was here. But now I do. And there is a genuine, awesome purpose for life. And you can understand that purpose. You can fulfill that purpose, every one of you, if you will open your mind and heart and respond. And God says, we're not to have that spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, as it is translated in the New International Version and others. The spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father, an intimate, very close relationship with God in heaven. We know and we know that we know God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yes, even now. We're only begotten. We have God's Spirit, though, and we're going to be genuine sons, full sons in the resurrection, as we shall see. And if children, then heirs. We're not yet possessors. We're not yet fully born of God, but we're begotten. We're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, if we're willing to go through the trials and tests and learn from them and cry out to God again and again for help, for mercy, for deliverance, for strength to honor Him and truly want to do it His way, to want to be right, not just because we're nicey-nice, but because we want to fulfill the purpose for which we're made, the purpose for which we're drawing breath. And we say, Father, help us, guide us, clean us up, fashion and mold us. Help us truly to become like you are. And my friends, if you have that attitude and you cry out to God and you mean it, you will achieve that purpose. Open your minds and open your hearts, and God will help you to achieve the awesome purpose of human existence. If we suffer with Him, we may be glorified together we are going to be glorified with Christ. We're going to become real sons of God, not make-believe sons, not some lesser sons like cows or horses or something, real sons of God. Does God's word mean what it says? You have to think about that and understand that. Notice in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, everything will work for good if we really love God and try to yield to Him and to serve Him and to walk with Him. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be, notice, the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is to become the firstborn. Others are going to be born of God, just like Christ. He was glorified when He was born of God. We are going to be glorified, just like Christ. He's the firstborn, or will be the firstborn, among many brethren, many, probably billions, when it's all over. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, these He glorified. Yes, in His purpose and His plan, and God calls those things which be not as though they were. It tells us back in Romans 4:17, look it up. He calls those things which are not as though they already are here. What He says will come to pass, and He plans to glorify us and make us real sons in His spirit, kingdom, and family, that we can live with Him in glory forever and be kings and priests, helping rule this earth, helping straighten out the problems on this earth, as we've told you so many times, working right alongside of Jesus Christ and the resurrected patriarchs and saints of old to rule this earth, and later the entire universe, probably, as is indicated in these other verses. And that is awesome. It really is awesome to think about. Turn now to Colossians, if you would. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him, by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him, through Jesus Christ, and for Him. And He, Christ, is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. There is a true church of God on this earth, a true church of God, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's the thing you need to think about. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He was born of God by a resurrection, the firstborn from the dead. Others will be born from the dead, therefore, by a resurrection, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He will always be our Savior. He will always be our living head, our high priest, and our King. And God the Father will always be our Father. Yet we're to be full sons of God, full members of the family of God in the resurrection from the dead, if we make it, if we can fulfill God's purpose, if we can surrender our minds, our hearts, our beings to the great God who gives us life and breath. Turn with me now back to Luke, if you would, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, and beginning in verse 35. Jesus Christ said, "But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels, and they are sons of God," notice, being sons of the resurrection. Being sons of the resurrection. We are full sons of God when we're born of God by a resurrection from the dead. And that is awesome when you think about it. And we should think about it, because that's why we're here. That's why we're drawing breath. Notice Revelation chapter 1, if you would. Revelation chapter 1 now, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. Here is the inspired John, the beloved apostle, the closest one to Jesus, writing, "John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead." Here it is again. Christ is the firstborn. Others are to be born of God, just like He was by a resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. He's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us in His plan. Nothing could stop it as long as we do our part. He has made us. He's already planned that we will be kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, ruling beings, ruling physically, ruling politically, and yet teaching and helping and building the people on this earth and tomorrow's world and the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. He's made us kings and priests to God His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You notice down here in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, he pictures the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. Christ's eyes are like a flame of fire in the glory and majesty that he has. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, like the great waves crashing on the rocks up here in the Big Sur country in California. That is the voice of Christ. The voice of rolling thunder as it thunders across the Texas plains and other parts of the earth. The great God, that's the way Christ is. And He is the firstborn of many brethren. He has created us to be kings and priests in the family of God. Kings and priests. Notice over in Revelation 2 and verse 26, Christ is speaking directly. He says, "He who overcomes," talking about you and me, "and keeps my works until the end," not just empty belief, but keeps Christ's works, walks his way, keeps his commandments, surrenders to him truly, "and keeps my works, to him will I give power over the nations." Christ will give us, the true saints of God, power over the nations of this earth. "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father." Yes, Christ is given that same power, but He's King of kings, and the true saints of God can become the lesser kings under Him. Chapter 5, Revelation 5 and verse 8, "The prayers of the saints." They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll," Jesus Christ, "and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." That is the message of the coming kingdom of God. That is the good news of tomorrow's world. But Satan the devil has presented a counterfeit gospel, my friends. He's presented that counterfeit to the world, which tells us just accept Christ. Don't do anything. You don't have to overcome. You don't have to have Christ living in you and obeying God's law. Just accept Christ in empty belief and then go to heaven with nothing to do. Which gospel will you accept? Again, be sure to call or write us now and request your free copy of our inspiring booklet entitled Your Ultimate Destiny. This booklet thoroughly proves from the Bible the real reason why you were born. That gives you the big picture of God's great purpose for your life. So pick up the phone and call now and just ask for the booklet on your destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, God's awesome purpose for your life is revealed again and again in many scriptures throughout the Bible. I wish there was time to read you dozens of other scriptures on this very topic. But before closing, let us look at what Jesus Christ Himself prayed for just before He died for our sins. This is an awesome passage that practically no one understands. Turn with me to John 17. John chapter 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer, and this is the last thing Jesus prayed for as far as a major prayer is concerned, as revealed in the Bible. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. He said in verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Christ had been with God from eternity. His face shone like the sun. He's the one who said, Let there be light, and there was light. And he prayed before he died, Father, give me back that same glory, that same majesty, that same power. He asked for that as the Son of God, and he got it. Notice in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, that is, for his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He wanted all of his disciples to become totally one, just like he and the Father were one. Notice verse 22, and the glory, notice this carefully, friends, the glory which you gave me, and he was to be given back the glory he'd had from eternity, the glory you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as, not some lesser glory, but that they may be one just as we are one, full sons of God, having the glory of God, faces shining like the sun. He said, give them that same glory. I don't think we understand that as we should. That is seldom been understood. God wants us to be full sons of God. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Not some lesser blessing, not some lesser love, to be made full, genuine sons of God. Not down here somewhere, but right up there with Christ in the very family of God, with God, ruling with God as kings and priests in the ruling family of God over this earth, and probably later over the moon, the sun, the stars, the universe, as David indicated. Can we believe what Jesus Christ clearly said? Can we believe what the Bible says? Again, call us now and request this most inspiring book that really spells this out. It's entitled, Your Ultimate Destiny. And be sure to tune in next week and every week to powerful Tomorrow's World programs. You'll be taught and you'll be challenged by exciting programs on different topics that come up in this modern world and on the revelation from God in heaven, revelations you've mainly never understood. Tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5582 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California. 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.